The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Show. 888-727-BECK. Glenn's just a little under the weather. Actually, been losing his voice for the last few days and pretty much completely went out yesterday. So the big news of the morning, if you've not heard it yet, the Today Show's Matt Lauer has been fired for inappropriate sexual behavior. Just like that, he's gone.
Yeah, no suspension.
No suspension. We're not going to look into it. We're going to investigate. Nope, he's gone.
Yeah.
They heard about it late Monday night, they said. And by this morning, he's not even on the air.
Not on the air, like never coming back. He's been terminated by NBC.
This is a guy whose show that he's hosted for 20 years has been number one for, what, 15 of that, maybe? And he makes $26 million a year. And you just summarily fire him on the accusation. In fact, on the statement, it's interesting because they said, in 20 years, this is the first accusation that anybody's come to management with.
And it's just one at this point.
Just one. They said there's evidence or there's reason to believe
we should maybe
it's
listen,
not isolated.
We should listen to the first moments here of today's show with, what is it, Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb?
Right.
Was on there.
Yes.
Because this is a sad morning here at Today and at NBC News. Just moments ago, NBC News Chairman Andy Lack sent the following note to our organization. Dear colleagues, on Monday night, we received a detailed complaint from a colleague about inappropriate sexual behavior in the workplace by Matt Lauer. It represented, after serious review, a clear violation of our company's standards. As a result, we have decided to terminate his employment. While it is the first complaint about his behavior in the over 20 years he has been at NBC News,
wow,
we were also presented with reason to believe this may not have been an isolated incident. Hmm. Our highest priority is to create a workplace environment where everyone feels safe and protected.
Except
and to
accused.
Ensure that any actions that run counter to our core values are met with consequences, no matter who the offender.
We want everybody to feel safe except the men who work here. Right? I mean, there's one of two ways to go with this. Either NBC had really hard evidence, or they had an admission of his, right?
They
went to him and he said, yeah, okay, I did that. I do that.
Like, I thought maybe, are there texts? Are there photos? Is there video? Is there
maybe
an audio recording of some sort?
Maybe.
Something where...
some hard evidence.
Right. Because, I mean, in one day, it would almost be difficult to put together the questioning process.
It would.
In one day to get someone fired.
It's not enough time.
Right.
So it's either hard evidence or he admitted, or we've arrived at a very frightening un-American place. And I don't know which it is.
Very well might be both.
It might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was interesting to hear the Savannah Guthrie, and who has worked with him for 15 years, try to handle this. Because, and I think she did, generally speaking, a good job.
She did.
Listen to her navigate this.
Yeah.
You know, for the moment, all we can say is that we are heartbroken. I'm heartbroken for Matt. He is my dear, dear friend and my partner, and he is beloved by many, many people here. And I'm heartbroken for the brave colleague who came forward to tell her story, and any other women who have their own stories to tell. Mm-hmm. And we are grappling with a dilemma that so many people have faced these past few weeks. How do you reconcile your love for someone with the revelation that they have behaved badly? Mm-hmm. And I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that this reckoning that so many organizations have been going through is important. It's long overdue. And it must result in workplaces where all women, all people, mm-hmm, feel safe and respected. As painful as it is, this moment in our culture and this change had to happen.
Yeah, it did. This is a very tough morning for both of us. I've known Matt for 15 years, and I've loved him as a friend and as a colleague. And again, just like you were saying, Savannah, it's hard to reconcile what we are hearing with the man who we know, who walks in this building every single day. We were both woken up with the news kind of pre-dawn, and we're trying to process it and trying to make sense of it, and it'll take some time.
So as good friends, who are dear, dear friends... Mm-hmm. I mean, don't you kind of owe it to that friendship to initially believe him, to withhold judgment at least until you've seen hard evidence that he's doing this?
At least until you know what is he's even been accused of. Uh-huh. As they say in there, that they don't even know further details other than what's been released in the statement. They just know that, you know, he was accused of something, and they said it was a detailed accusation. And look, he called them, and they're not saying that. We don't know all the details here. But it's like, if you have a piece of information, such as someone's continued behavior over 15 years, mm-hmm. and you don't see any sign of that, it doesn't mean that it's not true, right? Like, we, you know, the BTK killer was very active in his church, right? Mm-hmm. He was loved by his community because he was constantly helping. How many times have we seen people in the church, for example, who have gone down very dark roads in their personal lives while being very helpful in their communities? It's not impossible, but doesn't that, do you still owe this person you might not even know the right of believing their accusation against someone you know for a decade and a half? That is I don't think that's the right way this is supposed to be handled. I'm not saying you say, well, that woman's immediately lying because I have a friend. No, but I need to see the details of this because I can't believe he would do something like that. That whole step is gone, apparently. Now we're just to, they're fired, and wow, I'm glad this reckoning is happening. It's hard to question this dirtbag that I was friends with, but hey, you know, he's been accused.
Yeah, it's hard to reconcile the guy I knew with the dirtbag he obviously is. Well, they haven't proven that. It hasn't been proven to anybody yet. You don't even know the details, you just admitted. I don't know. I think the innocent until proven guilty theory in this country is completely out the window now. We're not abiding by that at all. And, you know, that's a system of the justice system to the innocent until proven guilty. You can go ahead and convict somebody in the court of public perception. It's not right to do. It's just not right.
Yeah. And, you know, look, maybe they know more. Maybe they have more evidence.
That's not what they're saying.
Right. That's not what they're saying publicly yet. So, but maybe they're saying something behind closed doors. The New York Post has a report that has come out that is saying the firing of Matt Lauer, in case you're just joining us, was based on an assault that happened during the Rio Olympics of a staffer. So we don't know the details of it yet, but they also say that there will be, they do expect, and they certainly hinted at this in the statement, they do expect more accusations to come. They think this might not be the only thing. And look, they may have enough information to say, okay, we definitely know this is really bad. But it's amazing to see how Matt Lauer has handled these other accusations over the years.
Yeah.
If this was a real problem for him.
Yeah. When he talked to Bill O'Reilly, listen to it in the light of everything we know now, when he was interviewing O'Reilly just a few months ago.
So did you provide Fox News any evidence, any information that you think could have changed their mind as to what you were guilty or not guilty of?
My legal team was very aggressive in putting forth our point of view, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
You, I want to put this in perspective timing-wise. You were fired about 10 months after Roger Ailes was let go.
Correct.
By the network over allegations of sexual harassment. So the network understood the subject matter. You were probably the last guy in the world that they wanted to fire because you were the guy that the ratings and the revenues were built on. You carried that network on your shoulders for a lot of years. So doesn't it seem safe to assume that the people at Fox News were given a piece of information or given some evidence that simply made it impossible for you to stay on at Fox News?
That's a false assumption. There were a lot of other business things in play at that time and still today that 21st Century was involved with. And it was a business decision that they made. But there isn't any
But you don't let your number one guy go unless you have information that you think makes him...
That's not true.
You don't let your number one guy go unless you have information that... That's a pretty bold statement for a guy who might have a guilty conscience.
Right.
Isn't it?
It makes you think maybe he doesn't believe these things happened, right? I mean, you know... And it's also not true. It's also an unfair question. I mean, that does happen. It does happen. You know, like a lot of these organizations will get to a point, even when they don't even when they don't believe the accusations, they will do things like this because they feel they are getting pressured into it. People do this stuff all the time because it's about public perception. It's not necessarily always about some factual thing. I mean, you know, we have a society in which we, you know, if we changed the standard with crimes, like this, you know, the Soviet Union, right? And we said guilty until proven innocent, right? The Soviet Union probably got a lot of criminals behind bars. Like they probably were right on a lot of cases. There probably were a lot of times they put people in jail and they were guilty, right? Mm-hmm. And they just assumed they were guilty and they put them in jail. They didn't give them a trial or anything. And they were probably right a lot of times. We built the society the other way for a reason. If we're going to err, we're supposed to err on the side of someone who is guilty getting no punishment at all.
Yeah.
That is our strategy here in the United States, like it or not. And we have now developed a new function of society in which accusation equals destruction. You get accused once,
you're done.
It is over. And this, again, we've said this with Moore, we've said this with Weinstein, we've said this, I'll say it again with Lauer. This very well may be a great case of so much information, and he was this bad of a guy, and he should be fired. We don't know, have enough information on it yet. But it's just amazing to see how fast these things are coming. This isn't even Weinstein. Weinstein had these accusations come out, and it was like, it was weeks. Mm-hmm. Matt Lauer, is Lauer worse than Weinstein? Or are we just on a down, you know, rolling down the hill? You know, we talk about a slippery slope. This slope, it's slip and slides covering the mountain right now.
It's almost as if we've adopted the Hillary Clinton justice system, that these women have a right to be believed.
Yeah.
So any accusation that they throw out there just must be believed. Okay, well, women don't lie.
Yeah, we should really get into this because there is a story. There's multiple stories now written by women who are saying, hey, guys, this might not be the right road to go down. We might be going the right. And in publications like The New York Times and The New Yorker, Not some evil conservative organizations that's trying to defend Roy Moore. I'm talking about real. I mean, The New Yorker is not even it's a left wing organization.
Yeah.
And The New York Times is obviously a mainstream publication that leans to the left as well. But I mean, these are big organizations coming out and saying, hey, guys, what are we doing here? Well, we got to make sure we're doing the right thing, because obviously we all know this. We all want women who have actually been sexually assaulted and harassed at work constantly and been pushed down and not been able to get jobs because of. We all want that to be destroyed. That culture is completely wrong. We don't want mad men here in the United States. That's not what we want. But we have to understand what we're doing here. Accusations do not mean guilt.
Not necessarily.
They may be.
Yeah, they might be. They might all be right.
They might.
Or many of them may be wrong.
Yeah.
And unless they got just a flat-out admission from Matt Lauer, this has gone really fast. Really amazingly fast. 888-727-BECK. More Pat and Stu for Glenn coming up.
So Uber disclosed a breach of 57 million passengers and drivers' records. Hackers accessed personal information, names, driver's license numbers of the drivers, names, email addresses, phone numbers of passengers. The breach was just recently announced, but the personal information was actually stolen a year ago. This happens a lot with these cases where you just kind of find out, you know, a year and a half later that all this stuff has been hacked. If you're only monitoring your credit, you need to do more. Your identity can still be stolen in ways you may not detect. Thank God there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity thefts, threats you may miss by just monitoring your credit, like someone stealing from your 401k or committing a crime in your name. And if there's a problem, U.S.-based identity restoration specialists will be there to help you work and fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code BECK. That's BECK. For 10% off your LifeLock membership, visit LifeLock.com, promo code BECK, and save 10% now.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray, Stuber Gear for Glenn, who's lost his voice today, so hopefully day of rest will get and we'll have him back tomorrow. 888-727-BECK. Interesting that some of these left-wing publications are starting to sound the alarm that, hey, maybe we're a little too hasty on some of these sexual harassment charges.
Yeah. I mean, there's been several we've highlighted over the past couple of weeks, but this one comes from the New York Times. The title is The Limits of Believe All Women. Right. Again, this is coming from a left-wing source. You know, talking about the reckoning of, that has happened recently wouldn't have happened without Gretchen Carlson, and then they go through a bunch of the people who, you know, they say deserve our great praise and gratitude. And hasn't the hunt been exhilarating? Again, this is a woman writing this. There's no small chance that by the time you finish this article, another mammoth beast of prey, maybe multiple, will be stalked and felled. Again, now louder, right?
Yeah.
So that's certainly true. The Huntress's war cry, believe all women, has felt like a bracing corrective to historic injustice. It has felt like a justifiable response to a system in which the crimes perpetrated against women, so intimate, so humiliating, and so unlike any other, are very difficult to prove. But I also can't shake the feeling that this mantra creates terrible new problems in addition to solving old ones. In less than 2 months, we've moved from uncovering accusations of criminal behavior, Harvey Weinstein, to criminalizing behavior that we previously regarded as presumptuous and boorish, like Glenn Thrush, the New York Times reporter. In a climate in which sexual escapades are transforming so rapidly, many men are asking, if I were wrongly accused, who would believe me? This is a question I would love to see someone ask a media member who is really aggressive on this. Just, we know you didn't do it, right? Mm-hmm. Wolf Blitzer, okay? Wolf, who's the guy that you'd think would be the least likely person in America? Let's say Wolf Blitzer. That's the person who pops into my head. There's no way Wolf Blitzer did anything like this. Wolf Blitzer, how, let's just say some person who didn't like you from your past, or two or three people who were interns and thought they should have been promoted and you didn't promote them, and they just accused you completely falsely. What could you say? What would anyone believe?
Mm-hmm.
If you were completely innocent, just craft for me the response that makes it even plausible for you to hold your job for more than a week. And I think the answer, everything kind of turns out to be, well, you're blaming the victims. Oh, come on. There wouldn't be three women doing this. There's no way. What do they have to gain? Like, no matter what you say, mm-hmm. there's that pushback. And I don't think that's right. The New York Times goes on. I know the answer. If I were wrongly accused, who would believe me? I know the answer many women would give and are giving is good. Be scared. We've been scared forever. It's your turn for some sleepless nights. They'll say, if some innocent men go down in an effort to tear down the patriarchy, so be it. Emily Linden, I think you talked about this, Pat, columnist at Team Vogue, summed up this view concisely last week on Twitter. I'm actually not at all concerned about innocent men losing their jobs over false accusations of sexual assault. If some innocent men's reputations have to take a hit in the process of undoing the patriarchy, that is the price I am absolutely willing to pay. Miss Linden was widely criticized, but say this much for her, at least she had the guts to publicly articulate a view that so many women are sharing with one another in private. Countless innocent women have been robbed of justice, friends of mine insist, so why are we agonizing about the possibility of a few good men going down? This is, again, the New York Times. I believe that the believe all women vision of feminism unintentionally fetishizes women. Women are no longer human and flawed. They are truth personified. They are above reproach. I believe that this is an amazing perspective and brave for this for the author to do this. I believe that it's condescending to think that women and their claims can't stand up to interrogation and can't handle skepticism. I believe that facts serve feminists far better than faith, that due process is better than mob rule. Maybe it will happen tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month, but the Duke LaCrosse moment, the Rolling Stone moment will come. A woman's accusation will turn out to be grossly exaggerated or flatly untrue. And if the governing principle of this movement is still an article of faith, many people will lose their religion. It's interesting, too, they go on to say, we know women, it's not that women can't lie. Of course they can. And one, the example they give is the Project Veritas thing from yesterday with James O'Keefe. Yes, that was a conservative thing to try to get the media and try to catch them. But what it was a woman lying. Mm-hmm. The woman went up and told a false story to try to trap someone who they wanted to make into a bad guy. It's the same story that could happen to any person in the media, any person who's accused of these things. And we have to, as a society, set some sort of lines of due process and skepticism. Women can handle it. Women absolutely can handle it. They're not these, you know, we're treating women like children. And that is It's not fair to women. They deserve, they are, equality is one thing, and it's right. But equality means the same skepticism that everybody gets. The same critical look at their claims that everybody receives.
Yeah, and again, I don't know Matt Lauer. This could be completely true.
Totally.
But you can't make that determination, I don't think, unless you have video, in 12 hours.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
If you haven't heard, Matt Lauer fired at NBC. He didn't even show up for this morning's Today's Show. And he was accused Monday night. The NBC brass got word from some woman that she had been assaulted. We don't know the details of the assault in Rio during the Olympics. What was that? Almost two years ago? A year and a half ago. Again, you can't help but wonder, why didn't you say something then? And a lot of women have called into my show on The Blaze and said...
What show is that, Pat?
It's Pat Gray Unleashed.
Well, is it findable? Is it just something for a private, small group?
Does
anyone have access to it?
It's for everyone.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
How would they access something like that?
They go to theblaze.com and...
TV or radio?
TV or radio.
Wow, what an incredible offer.
Yeah, and just listen right after, immediately following this show. Mm-hmm. Today included.
But a lot of people are calling that show that you can access whatever you want.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they're saying to me, I understand. Women are calling and saying, I understand because I was harassed and I was afraid of losing my job I was embarrassed or I was ashamed or I thought I did something wrong. And that's all understandable too. But on the other hand, you wonder, well, couldn't you have saved others from this same situation had you spoken out? There are other jobs to have, maybe, that you go to.
Right. And of course, obviously, a woman should not be forced into another
she should
job
not.
Because of
Absolutely
one of these situations.
Not. Right.
It's an impossible decision and should not be one that they need to make, right? Like, they shouldn't have to make a priority decision as to what is worse.
You shouldn't have to, but sometimes you do.
Right.
Right.
And it does unfortunately happen. And hopefully, that wouldn't be the outcome. Look, if we get to a point here where this settles into a comfortable place where if women are actually harassed, they can come out and say something and people who are guilty pay the price, that's a great outcome. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be a fantastic place for this thing to land. We just have to make sure we don't go the other way too far. And the fact that even the left-wing organizations are coming out and saying, are we...
Going too far?
Yeah,
We've
crossed a line. The New Yorker has a really interesting piece today, talking about multiple accusations and saying we need to separate a little bit. We need to find the difference between Harvey Weinstein and, you know, someone else, right? Mm-hmm. Like Louis C.K., for example. We brought that up before.
Yeah. Because what he did was icky.
Really icky. If you don't know, he
pleasured himself in front of women, but asked them first if it was okay to do that.
Yes, and as far as we know, never did anything that was against the consent of the woman.
If the women said no, he wouldn't do it.
He wouldn't do it, and if they said yes, he would do it. And many of the women reported afterwards feeling like, oh man.
I shouldn't have watched that.
That was gross.
And now they're upset about it.
And
he lost. He's basically lost his career now because of it.
Yeah,
as a result.
It's true. It's like I was watching Family Guy last night, which was one of the first episodes of the season, and because I hadn't watched any of them, and I like that show. It's funny.
Seth MacFarlane does it, right?
And he's the one who made jokes about Kevin Spacey in the past. Yeah. And made jokes about...
Guy seems to know about everybody's sexual harassment situation.
Exactly, right. And that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because he made the Oscars joke about... it wasn't Spacey, it was Weinstein. And he had made a Kevin Spacey joke inside a Family Guy. And people were bringing these things up. And I was like, wow, yeah, he does seem to know everything. Who was in the first episode of Family Guy this season? Louis C.K.
Wow.
And it's like, that had been a rumor. That rumor I had actually heard in the past that he liked to do this. He had referenced it on his own show that he liked to do this in front of women. And now he's apparently gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those things. One of the accusations was that one of the women was on a phone call with Louis C.K. and believed that he was pleasuring himself while they were on the phone.
she didn't know for sure.
My understanding.
And he didn't say?
My understanding.
Hang up the phone. Right,
first of all, hang up the phone. Number two, it's my understanding that telephones are not a visual medium.
That's my understanding.
That's my understanding.
Well, now they can be.
Now we have FaceTime.
Yeah.
We've got Skype. But it was not one of those calls. It was just a normal phone call. So we're at the point now where if a woman believes a guy is doing something while they're on the phone with them.
Well, that's because she has a right to have a phone conversation with Louis C.K. and shouldn't be made to feel as though he's pleasuring himself while they're talking.
Really?
Yes.
Is that a right to a phone call with Louis?
So, I guess.
And again, it wasn't even the, like, it was just that he was powerful was the excuse. And his explanation of this, and he was widely praised for it because he kind of came out and was like, look. Yeah, I did these things and I shouldn't have done them. And I realize now, he's like, even though I always asked for consent and I always got in and I never did anything like this with them saying no, I know now that I was wrong. And it's like his construct of this was I was admired. I was a powerful comedian and people in the industry admired me. Therefore, even me asking to have sexual contact with these women was inappropriate because they, I guess, weren't adults enough to say no.
That's unbelievable to me.
That is, it's
unbelievable to me.
It's totally wrong against women.
Think of your wife in that context. Yeah. I know my wife. Mm-hmm. If Louis C.K. Had asked her, hey, do you mind if I pleasure myself in front of you? She would absolutely say no and leave. Because women are capable of doing that.
Yeah. Now, if there is a step beyond that where a guy says, no, get back in here.
Right.
Or forces her.
But that's different.
Totally different world.
Yeah.
But if you ask for consent and receive it, that is essentially your responsibility in the situation.
Yes.
Right? Like, I mean, there's other moral questions around these sorts of behaviors, but not when it comes to sexual assault. Right? So they go through, the New Yorker goes through the story of Ralph Shorty, who's a state senator in Oklahoma. And he was caught having sex with a 17-year-old or about to have sex with a 17-year-old prostitute and a male. And so he is now going to jail for at least, I think it's 10 years. And even though this person is above the age of consent, but not for prostitution. So he committed what seems to be pretty clearly a crime, but he was facing life in prison because of these things, because of pictures he had been sent from other 17-year-olds. Apparently,
wow.
Really twisted case.
Mm-hmm.
And I only bring it up because I don't think that's a particularly good example of this. But I bring it up just because the New Yorker was also talking about someone on the right. So let me give you the example of Glenn Thrush. If you don't know who he is, he's the New York Times reporter who was wearing the hat all the time. He's portrayed on Saturday Night Live. You know, he's kind of like one of those reporters you kind of know, right? A big, big political reporter. Glenn Thrush, White House reporter for the New York Times, suspended in advance of the publication of a story by Vox that described multiple instances in which Thrush made sexual advances towards younger women. In one, he kissed a woman on the ear. At the time, the woman seemed to have shrugged it off. That's accusation one. Okay, kissed a woman on the ear, the woman shrugged it off.
So at the time, she wasn't upset, but she is now years later.
I guess doesn't like it now.
Okay.
But the extent of it was a kiss on the
on
ear.
The ear.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
In another, there was a consensual but aborted sexual encounter. So it was consensual. I guess it started and then they were like, I don't know, let's not do this. And it stopped. He didn't force her to make it continue.
Why are we even hearing about that then?
It's an interesting question.
Consensual?
Consensual.
And then when it stopped being consensual, so did the action?
Mm-hmm. All of
how
the
is that a problem?
Yeah. I don't know, because I think that's your responsibility as a guy, right? You have to make sure like these things are like you can't.
You get
do
a form signed in triplicate.
We mocked that before, but I mean,
I know.
I think yes. I think the answer to this is yes.
I think so.
So all of the incidents appear to have. This is again the New Yorker reporting this. All of the incidents appear to have involved in consumption of alcohol. None occurred in the workplace. None involved force. None of the women reported to Thrush, who, as a reporter, then at Politico, he wasn't anybody's boss. The Times announced that it was suspending Thrush because of accusations of inappropriate sexual behavior. This is an example of misplaced scale. Employers do not normally appoint themselves arbiters of appropriate behavior outside the workplace. It is hard to imagine a non-sexual example
of
non-work-related behavior that would get a reporter preemptively suspended in the absence of any crime or misdemeanor. The only thing I can come up with, other than this, and they don't include this, it is something where you say something offensive politically. If you say something that's too conservative on your Twitter account,
mm-hmm.
or you know, we saw this with Charlottesville in a more stark example where people were getting fired from their hot dog making jobs because they went to the Nazi rally. You know, there are some examples, but it's pretty rare. The fact that you would kiss someone on the ear and they wouldn't make a big deal about it until multiple years later, and that is results in your termination, is probably completely ridiculous, right? Like, I can... how do you get to this point where you have an actual normal relationship? We talked about this with polling. I don't think you were here for this segment. I think it was yesterday. Where something like 25% of millennials today say, if a man... other than my partner, asks me out for a drink, that is sexual harassment. A quarter. And it's like, how does someone become your partner if they can't ask you out for a drink? It wasn't saying it was someone my boss. It wasn't even saying it had anything to do with work. It was just someone who is not my partner.
Wow.
Asks me out for a drink, that is sexual harassment.
So a not quarter. Even in the workplace. That's no, not even in the
not even in the workplace. That is a society, that is
we're
a bizarre
a bad
place. Society
yeah.
that's being designed here, and it's going to have lots of repercussions that I don't think that women are going to want. We talked to a woman who wrote a column about sexual harassment, and someone who said, hey, look, I don't want any, you don't understand this, men. I don't want you ever complimenting me. Or noticing what I wear, or talking to me about that, or asking me out, ever at work, never. And her point was like, actually, everybody I've ever dated, I met at work.
Yeah.
You know, like that is, I don't want that to happen. Like, I want to mm-hmm. be able to talk like a normal human being to other people at work. And the thought seems to be now we should just eliminate that completely. And that's a weird thing. It's a strange decision for a society to make. And it may have very good motivations and some very good outcomes, but we have to be careful because these things we've seen this with, like, you know, when you talk about the Patriot Act, really good,
mm-hmm.
really good idea yeah. behind the Patriot Act, stop terrorism.
Yeah, it's but been misapplied.
Has it been misapplied?
Yes,
and that is what we need to avoid.
Yeah.
Liberals seem to really understand that. You know, when it comes to things like that they don't like when in the Bush administration, but this is, you know, something here, and this is on both sides of the aisle. It's not a political issue. As you see with these two being left-wing sources. But we got to get to some sort of balance here.
Yeah, we're in a dangerous place.
We want bad guys to go away. We want them to be punished for their actions if they're horrible, right? We want that.
Yes.
But you got to, I mean, we got to have some sensible way of dealing with these things.
888-727 Beck. More Pat and Stu for Glenn coming up.
Getting a good night's sleep is easier said than done, especially if you hear a noise downstairs. That happens to us. I feel like in Texas, the thing I hear most are just strange animals killing each other outside of my house. Whenever I have the freaking window open, I feel like 9 coyotes attack rabbits in the backyard. And that is not going to be something that Simply Safe is going to protect you from. Simply Safe will do pretty much everything else, though. Each Simply Safe system is a complete arsenal. Order Simply Safe online in minutes. It's really easy. It'll have it on your doorsteps this week. You open the box, you plug it in, and you're going to be protected with professional home security. No tools, no hard wiring. You don't have to drill holes in your wall. You don't have to build additions to your house to handle all the material. It's easy. Simply Safe, there's no contracts either. There's no hidden fees. 24/7 professional monitoring for just $14.99 a month, which is way less than you will pay from these big alarm companies. Go to SimplySafeBeck.com. They're going to give you a special 10% discount when you order today. It's SimplySafeBeck.com for 10% off. SimplySafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Stu for Glenn. He's lost his voice. Hopefully a day of rest. Get him back tomorrow. 888-727 Beck. Let's go to Maya in Pennsylvania. Hey, Maya. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I woke up really early this morning, and I was thrilled to find out that Matt Lauer has been fired, because I never liked the guy. But I was not shocked. I never liked him. But I was shocked. I was not shocked at all that it was because of sexual harassment.
He has been kind of, and I would say, rumored as a ladies' man over the years.
Really?
You know, and I saw one reporter talking about this, of like, well, if anyone you've heard referred to as a ladies' man, because Charlie Rose was referred to this way, that basically means that they're probably a sexual harasser. And it's like, is that true?
Great.
Luckily, no one's ever accused me of being a ladies' man. That is never the exact opposite. Everybody on this network is like, they're like, ugh.
Were you not shocked because you heard the rumors of ladies' man, Maya?
No, I was not shocked, because there has been rumors about him, you know, over the years, about him cheating on his wife. And actually, Kathy Griffin, years and years ago, when I used to be a fan of hers, she did a joke about him on her, a bit about him and his philandering ways.
Really?
Yeah, years ago. I remember this joke when I was a fan of her. But I called because you guys are saying how, you know, one little thing could be disastrous. But I told my husband about it, and my husband said the same thing. He said, oh, I'm not surprised at all.
But this is a problem. This is a problem. And I understand what you're saying here, but put it into a position of someone you do like, someone you really respect and love. And now, you know, like, for example, you know, we talked about this. We joked about it with Glenn the other day. Glenn, right? Half the country despises Glenn. Mm-hmm. Right, so half of the country will say the same thing you just said, which is like, I believe it from that guy. He's a dirtbag. I totally believe it, and they will immediately pass due process and just let this accusation be true. And just because we don't like Lauer, or we don't like Weinstein, or we don't like any of these people, does not mean we should not apply the same standard to them.
Right. Appreciate the call, Maya. And the other thing is, there's a difference between cheating on your wife and what he's accused of.
Yes.
He's accused of sexual assault.
Yes. And that is a big line. Yeah. A huge, huge line. The same thing.
The cheating on his wife thing, you presumably would be consensual, right? And that's one thing that's immoral, in my opinion, and not right. In some other opinions as well. But that's a different issue and a different situation than
totally
than sexual harassment and sexual assault.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Stu for Glenn, who's lost his voice. Should be back tomorrow, hopefully, after a day of rest. 888-727-BECK. By the way, you can join me for my show immediately following this one on the Blaze Radio and TV network. Bitcoin is now at over $11,000. Now, yesterday, I came in and talked to you guys, and I think at the time, so it would have been 10:30 yesterday morning, it was at 9,400 or 9,500 something.
Right around there,
97. Now it's over 11,000. It's done over $1,000 in a day.
Yeah, yesterday, it hit, for the first time, 10,000, which is obviously a big, inexplicably important round number. Like, there's no reason 10,000 means anything. It's just a bunch of people saying, wow, that's a round number. A lot of zeros in that one. So, you know, and we're all guilty of that weird thing that we do with round numbers.
Because you've gone from four to five figures.
Yeah, like, it feels big. It's not. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's the same as a dollar from $8 to $9 is the same gain as, not, you know, $9,999 to $10,000. Like, it's, you know, except for percentage, it's much more important from $8 to $9.
It's just happening so fast.
It's happening so fast. And so yesterday, approximately, I don't know, 6 o'clock yesterday, it crossed $10,000for the first time, which is a huge deal. I mean, people don't follow this stuff. A lot of people in the audience, they think, oh, God, are they blabbing about Bitcoin again? And I understand that. But, like, just think of it as any investment. If you bought a car for $800 in January and are selling it for $10,000, $11,000 today, that doesn't make any sense. Now, think if you bought multiple cars at $800. Think of how much money some people are making. Thousands and thousands and thousands of millionaires are being created right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's an incredible time.
And when you think about where this thing started, and how it began, with the first purchase being a pizza that was purchased on the internet for 10,000 bitcoins. 10,000 bitcoins bought you a pizza. And if so, the person who sold his 10,000 or gave up his 10,000 bitcoins for a stupid, you know, $40 worth of pizzas.
It was Papa John's too, by the way. Papa John's pizza.
And it wasn't even the store itself that took the bitcoins, because nobody did at that time. It was some guy in England who was a bitcoin collector. And he's like, I'll give you $40 for a couple of pizzas for the 10,000 bitcoins. That guy is now worth billions.
Probably, because I mean, just those
100 million or something. Just 100 million just for those 10,000.
Just for those pizzas, $110 million currently. Plus, it's actually more than that.
So the person who got the pizza has got to be kicking himself today, if he's still alive.
Yeah, I think he's still alive. I think he's known, too, who it is. Because they don't know who started Bitcoin. They don't know who the person was who actually started it. But it's a fascinating thing. I was talking to somebody who works here earlier today, knew a guy who got very early on the Bitcoin thing and was mining for them. And there's no need to go into what the mining process is here, but was mining for them, which essentially means you get free Bitcoins if you run your computer.
Yeah.
Make it easy. And so he was mining for them very early on, getting them at 30, 40 cents. You know what I mean? Like really early, like 2012, 2013, when no one knew what the hell this was, right?
Uh-huh.
And was able to, for basically nothing, make a huge profit. And you think now the guy's probably a billionaire, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, he was able to turn that nothing into a brand new Lincoln Navigator. Now that's an incredible day. He got, I think, a $70,000 automobile out of this. And because he sold at an incredible profit. If he had kept that, it would probably be worth $50, $80, $100 million.
Yeah.
What he got was a $70,000 car, which is a great story. But
still, that hurts.
It's one of those things where you got a car for nothing, and it's the worst story of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's kind of a fascinating thing. This guy could have been worth $110 million. We told the story of the guy who, a kid who mined for Bitcoins a long time ago or bought some Bitcoins because he thought it was cool, forgot about them, opened up his wallet and realized he had $6 million in his wallet out of nowhere. Had just forgotten he had even done it. I mean, the people are gaining incredible power and wealth off of this thing. And it's not the normal people. Like, it's not the big financial institutions. It's not the powerful who have been in on this the whole time. You know, honestly, myself included, you know, and I'm not making anything like this, but I did, you know, get in fairly early. It's a bunch of weirdos. I mean, it's a bunch of weirdos like us who, you know, were interested in this and believed in decentralized banking and believed in that inflation was a problem and believed in libertarian principles and got in on this early. And a bunch of weirdos like us are making a lot of money. I wish I was weirder, because then I can make $110 million for two pizzas.
Yeah,
but it's still an interesting thing to watch, and it is turning everything upside down. Again, as we give this disclaimer every time we talk about this, if it's zero tomorrow, I will not be surprised. I mean, it's who knows what happens
well,
with this stuff.
But. Like I think the CEO of Zappa, wasn't it the CEO that was with us months ago?
Mm-hmm.
And he said it's irresponsible to go in and buy a whole bunch of Bitcoins.
He runs a Bitcoin company,
and
he's saying that.
But he said it's equally irresponsible not to have any. So he said buy one, because this could go to zero. Yes, it's possible. It could go to zero, and you lose everything. Or it could go to $1 million of Bitcoin. I mean, that's his theory.
Yeah.
He thinks it's about 50-50 chance, right?
Yeah.
Of zero or a million.
Now, he runs a Bitcoin company, right? He's
gonna,
maybe he's going to be super optimistic, and he's been in this world for a long time. There's a guy who did a on CNBC yesterday who thinks by the end of next year, it's going to be 40,000. Now, that's four times what it is now, and would be a disappointment in comparison to what happened this past year. It's like, oh, it's only going up four times per year? What a disappointment. Who knows what's going to happen? But I thought this was an interesting point. If it does go to 40,000, if it goes to 40,000, cryptocurrencies, right? All of these, you know, Bitcoin and all these other things will be valued at about 1% of all financial assets, right? So it's not as if it goes to 40,000, it's going to be the biggest thing in the world. It's going to be much smaller than many of these other investments that you go to. It's only going to be a small sliver still at that point.
Yeah.
And still we're at the point where only a few million people worldwide have any Bitcoin amount of Bitcoin of note, like, you know, within a few hundred dollars, right? We're very much at the beginning of this, and it's a really interesting thing to watch. Is it a bubble? Probably. I kind of expect it to drop off by 25-30% at some point soon.
Is there a point where you sell, or are you just in it for the long-term ride? Are you just in it to see if it gets to a million?
Again, I like this because it's interesting. I'm not a big money player in these things, so it's not particularly, you know, that's not where I am with it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think it's one of those things that if it drops off a little bit, I'll sell a little bit. But you want to take your profits off the table, you know. But it's still I don't know. I don't know. It's, you don't want to miss out on the upside. Like, I think legitimately, you could have sold at 5,000 and been really happy. That's what happened with a guy. He bought a freaking Lincoln Navigator, and he was really happy. He got a free Latin Navigator.
He's not happy today.
Not happy now. The Navigator has depreciated in value.
Yeah.
Bitcoin did not.
Yeah.
No. So it's impossible to know what happens with this. It's been interesting to go on this ride with the audience. We had so many people on Twitter. I'm at World of Stew.
We're getting in now.
Yeah. Who are saying, a lot of people are getting in now. And look, this will probably, who knows what's going to happen with it. You know, I'm not trying to tell you that you should dump a bunch of money into it. I think it's an interesting, fun thing to watch. But so many people are like, listen to you guys 6 months ago. Listen to you guys 8 months ago. Listen to you guys a year ago. Put money in. One person said they put $1,000 in when we talked about it about a year ago, and they paid off a year of law school with it. Paying off a year of law school with the investment
they
made.
That's nice.
That's awesome.
That's nice.
Now, of course, when it goes to 40,000 and then a million, they're going to be like, why did I even go to law school?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's a great thing. And there's been a lot of that that has happened. You never know when a market like this dies. But thinking about it from a larger perspective, and I think that what's interesting to the audience is, you know, an investment going up or down. We're not CNBC. That's not what we do here. Mm-hmm. Right? It's mildly interesting from that point, just because it's fun to see people get a lot of money and become wealthy. But more than that, it is taking the government out of incredibly important transactions in our society forever. When you wanted to you want to send money to someone, there is always a quote-unquote trusted third party there to navigate that transaction, whether it's the government coming up with a currency and giving it to you so you can mark, well, that's what that means there, but they could always inflate it, right? They could always do something to it to destroy it, and they have. The same thing with banks, right? How many times have we said we don't trust the banks? Look at what they're doing with the financial collapse and all of these things that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time ever, that is eliminated. That trusted third party is no longer there. It's now this program that runs, that has rules and can't be changed.
Yeah, and best of all, I've not invested, so you don't have to worry about it collapsing yet.
That is the...
That's not a thing until I invest.
When you,
and then, then it's over.
You said, is there a point that I sell? Yes, it's the day you tell
the
me
day
you bought.
Somebody, a listener, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about what bad luck I have with investing and how we've talked before about when Glenn and I were together the first time, and we were offered Clear Channel stock. In lieu
it's a radio
of just
company.
In lieu of $10,000 worth of salary, an extra $10,000. Hey, instead of going up to that level, how about we give you that in Clear Channel stock? Well, at the time, Clear Channel was, $5 a share, and it wasn't the company it then became. And we didn't foresee that, obviously, because we said, no, just $10,000 worth of salary.
Right.
So had we taken the $10,000 worth of stock and ridden out the splits and then going back up to 95 and then splitting again and sold at the right time, we both would have made $2.5 million on that. This wonderful listener, just to make me feel better about myself, said, and then Pat, what if you had taken that $2.5 million and invested in Bitcoin when it was 300. Now you'd have $50 million. Thank you.
Your listeners hate you,
yeah,
apparently?
Obviously.
Okay, good.
Obviously they do. All right. 888-727 Beck. More Pat and Stu for Glenn coming up.
When it comes to your mortgage, buying or refinancing, you need people that take away the stress and not add more. That's why there's American Financing. I dealt with these guys when I was buying my house, and you know, I shopped around. I'm one of those people that shopped around to a million different sources. I wanted to make sure that I had the best rates, and it was an amazing experience because after it was all said and done, I had a bunch of probably 10 different offers from mortgage companies, and I went back to American Financing and I said, look. You know, there's only two that are even mildly competitive, or there's only one that's competitive with your offer. Here it is. Here are the details of it. You know what they said to me? You know what? I got to say, you should take that one. That's a good offer. You should take it. Of course, I was completely stunned. You don't do business with people when they tell you to go to another place. But that's not how they're motivated at American Financing. They're not motivated into trying to making every single dollar out of you. They want to give you a straightforward and effortless mortgage experience, and they do it. Find out if a reverse mortgage is right for you and your family. Reverse mortgages are a good way to increase monthly cash flow with no mortgage payment while still retaining ownership of your home. Call American Financing at 800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440 or online at AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Stuper Gear for Glenn, who lost his voice for some reason. And, you know, sometimes it just he's got to rest his vocal cords. That's what he's doing today. So he should be returning tomorrow. 888-727 Beck. We were talking about the Bitcoin experience, which has been an amazing one because it started at what, 0.07 cents or something? It was like 0.07 of a cent when it first started, if that. And then it went, you know, it was on a slow, gradual climb for a long time.
Yeah, and it had a big spike and then died.
Yeah.
And went down to nothing. I mean, but we've said this before, like when Donald Trump came down the escalator in 2015 to announce his candidacy, it was something like $500. And now it's $11,000.
I can't think of another stock that has done that. Can you think of another?
Certainly not that fast, right?
Yeah.
The crazy thing is the guy who created Bitcoin, no one knows who it is.
Which is a strange thing.
Very strange thing.
It kind of adds to the coolness of Bitcoin.
I think that is true, actually.
And maybe that's why he does it.
Yeah, maybe that's
why
he
hasn't
come out.
Maybe he's just a genius marketer, and he knows that mystery sort of adds to the mystique of Bitcoin.
Yeah, it may be. And apparently he's very secretive.
People think it's Elon Musk.
Yeah, and I don't know that there's a lot to that.
Yeah,
but, you know, when they were creating this and designing how it was going to work, the guy who created it interacted with a lot of people, but in an anonymous forums and stuff like that. Like he had email relationships and then one day just dropped off the face of the earth and no one knows what happened.
Hmm.
I mean, who knows? He may have died. No one knows.
Possibly.
But in there, because he was doing this experiment, he left himself a little bonus. The way I created this bonus of 1 million bitcoins, which today are worth $11 billion. Okay. Which is, it's a nice haul. It's a
wow.
Nice haul.
Making you one of the richest people in the world.
I think yesterday Glenn said richer than Charles Schwab. Right? Like you're
that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
You're on the list, right? And if this thing keeps going up, you might be the richest person in the world, and we won't know who he is.
Yeah, if it goes to 40,000,
yeah,
and he's got a million.
What is it? The Amazon guy is Bezos number one now,
or is it close
Gates?
To it?
It's they're around they go 50, back 60 forth, billion,
as well as that Mexican
Carlos Slim.
Telecommunications guy, yeah.
Yeah, so you have those people around 50 to 70 million, a billion. You know, there's a possibility that this guy becomes the richest person in the world when we have no idea who he is. The other part we should note is none of those million bitcoins have ever been moved or touched. They are all sitting there in their, you know, pure original state and have never been touched, because you can tell when transactions happen out of that wallet. You can see everything that happens. You just don't know who the people associated with them are.
Are there actual hard copies of Bitcoin? Do they actually print any coins?
They did start that way. I think when very early on, just for people to kind of understand that it was a currency, they tried to they actually made physical coins early
on. But now
on.
It's just digital, right?
Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, like, well, you know, I was like, well, you know, they limited this to 21 million Bitcoins. There can never be more. And that's what I think a lot of the audience likes, is the idea that the government can't inflate this currency because there are 21 million and there can never be more. Pretty big deal.
Yeah.
He was like, well, how is that different from 21 million unicorns? Like, what does that mean? Who cares that there's 21 million Bitcoins? But it's like, think of what you're doing every day. Every day, you're using a card or a piece of paper that supposedly, just because you can hold a card in your hand, how is that any different? It's still a digital currency that you're passing along. You know, a dollar just represents this idea that it's worth something. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, other...
At one time, it was. It was backed by gold.
But again, why does gold have value? Right. You know, we love gold. I have gold. We love gold line here. You know, but gold has value because our civilization has determined it has value.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's not because, like, oil has value in the way that you can burn it and it can do things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, gold largely has value because we've determined it has value. That's nothing wrong with gold. It's the same thing with Bitcoin. It's the same thing with fiat currency and the dollars that you have in your pocket. It's the same thing with the credit cards that you have, the investments that you have. It's all determined on market value. It's all determined because society has, you know, believes there's value to it. And it's the same way with Bitcoin. I mean, I understand why it's such a weird concept to people. I still am a very limited understanding. I mean, we had experts on that. Every time we have one on, teaches you something. You're just like, wow, really? But it's an incredible thing. And it's the technology behind it is going to be an amazing internet level change in the way things occur. Whether Bitcoin goes up or down, I don't know. But the technology behind that is going to handle huge financial transactions, the way we do banking, the way we do voting, the way we do all of these things. It's the foundation under it is coming.
And they say it's unhackable.
That is what they say.
That's the claim.
Yep.
And I don't know if people actually believe that. Because in order to really be a major investor in it, I think you would have to believe that.
Yeah. And I think...
Because if you hack in, I mean, that destroys the whole thing.
I'm, you know, of course, more skeptical of things than the average person, I think.
Yeah. You? Wait, what? Let me see if I can process that.
A tad.
When did that start?
Yeah, I know. It's a weird thing. well, maybe a little bit. But, you know, the technology behind it's pretty secure. I mean, and the idea that basically it's spread out into 100,000 different places. You can hack one of them. You can hack 10,000 of them and still not do anything to the system. That's what's amazing about it.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat and Stu. The Pat and Stu Band is back together, for today at least. Glenn lost his voice, should recover tomorrow, hopefully, and be back then. In the meantime, 888-727-BECK. The big news, if you've missed it, is that Matt Lauer was fired summarily from NBC overnight. Didn't even do his show today. So it's, of course... an allegation of sexual assault from his time when he was broadcasting the Rio Games in 2016.
They're saying they think there's going to be a lot more. One reporter who has broken a lot of these types of stories over the past few months says they think he was one of the worst.
Seriously?
Like, it's going to come out.
Really?
Yeah. Says Lauer is among the worst I've heard about, not in terms of the kind of misconduct, but the way he manipulated these women into silence. It's evil, frightening stuff.
Oh, wow.
So we'll see. Yeah. Again,
I mean, I'm not a huge Lauer fan.
No.
But if I had to guess somebody that was evil, I wouldn't say Matt Lauer. Would you?
Yeah, no, he wouldn't be the first one that came to mind. Like, Harvey Weinstein was such a jerk.
That's not a surprise.
And known for being a jerk for other reasons.
Yeah.
You know, he was a known sort of womanizer, but also, you know, abusive to his employees.
And everybody
in a non-sexual way, right? Yeah. Like, you know, he yelled at everyone. He went after them in the media. He was known to be a real jerk. Right?
Yes.
So it wasn't a huge, huge shocker. But Matt Lauer, I mean, I'd heard, you know, you hear the rumors of him maybe being kind of a ladies' man.
I'd never even heard, because I know he's married. He's been married for, what, 15 years or so. And so I don't know that I've ever heard the rumors he was a ladies' man.
Yeah. I mean,
interesting.
I also don't really care about rumors about Matt Lauer.
That's the thing.
But it is interesting. It's a cultural observation. It's not about Matt Lauer. I mean, for him it is. And for whoever the woman is, you know, it's a personal story. But for us as a show and as a society, it's about looking at these stories and seeing what precedent we're setting.
And seeing the breathtaking speed with which somebody's career is completely destroyed. Just boom, it's overnight, it's gone.
Now, the left cheered this on when it happened to talk show host about their speech.
Yeah.
You know when Don Imus makes a joke and he's fired in the middle of a charity fundraiser for SIDS victims. Okay, MSNBC takes him off the air before he can raise millions of dollars for children with SIDS.
Yeah,
or it's SIDS research, I guess is probably the better way of saying that. I mean. Incomprehensible for making a joke, and the media cheered that on. They cheered it on for Imus. They've cheered it on for when Glenn was being threatened with these things. They've cheered it on when Rush was being threatened with Hannity's being threatened with these things. They like that. I mean, they all cheered on and how it should be. We should all do that. Now they're seeing some of their own and some of the people on their side who some of them have done really bad things, and everybody agrees they should.
But now they're being burned by the fire they ignited.
Yes, and some of it is people who have done somewhat questionable things and are being treated as if they are, you know, a genocidal maniac, you know, a dictator, and being it, like, you know, the Libyan dictator was dragged through the streets. Everyone was, you know, wow, that's a, you know, when Saddam Hussein's pulled out of a hole, everyone cheers, and as he gets hanged a few days later, everyone's like, yes, we did it. That's kind of like there's an appetite for it right now. There's a salaciousness. There's a thirst to find these people who are doing these things and put them away. And look, if they did them, we should all have that thirst. That thirst is just justice, right? I mean, if someone did something like Harvey Weinstein's been accused of and seemingly is kind of half admitted to, although he still hasn't admitted to the worst parts, but I mean, he's probably the most evidence or the most accusations against him. You know, somebody like that, you know, we all are really happy that is going away and shouldn't be, you know, part of what we're doing. You know, like when you commit crimes, these are crimes. But when you're talking about people who are like, well, they had a relationship with someone who was younger than with them that they used to work with. Like that means you get fired. I don't understand.
You deserve to be vilified.
Yeah.
And your life destroyed. I don't think so. Also, Black Lives Matter is organizing something really wonderful. You might not have the best opinion of Black Lives Matter, but I think when you hear this, it's going to change your mind. Black Lives Matter is organizing Black Christmas.
Oh,
where Black people only buy from other Black people and ignore white businesses or places that are run by white people.
So it's like
they're trying to divest from white corporations and white capitalism.
Oh, thank God.
But and that's not racism. I don't want you to start your right-wing kookery and start jumping to racism because they're not capable of racism.
I did have a thought, Pat, and I must admit this, that it does seem like, how do they call it, segregation? Like if you were to buy only from people in your own race and only deal with people in your own race, that seems like you might be segregating yourselves.
Yes. But again, it's fine because it's Black Lives Matter doing it. So if Black people segregate themselves, that's only because they want to. If white people start segregating themselves, that's because they're evil and racist and hateful.
Better though to try to advance a society where you don't care about skin color and you wouldn't make your decisions based on skin color either way.
That's cute. Well, I mean, it's not, that's so quaint.
But it was something that Martin Luther King kind of argued.
Yeah, when he said that you should pay attention to the color of people's skin, not the content of the character. When he said that, I kind of cheered. Yeah,
he did, because I think he said the opposite. I'm pretty sure.
You would think it was the opposite of what he actually said, because these people are being applauded for, you know, supporting black businesses. But if a white person had started this, they'd be a white supremacist. Mm-hmm. They'd be a racist. They'd be a member of the KKK. They're neo-Nazis.
And people would attack them. And you
they'd
know
be
what?
Attacked.
The
and
people attacking out of business. Them
and they should
would be right.
Yeah, they would be right
to do that. You know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't go to a business. I would not deal with I would not, if I knew a restaurant I went to every day and a bunch of white supremacists were behind it, I wouldn't go. Right?
Right.
I mean,
yes.
I wouldn't want to be part of that. If we've said this before, if a bakery really was saying, you know what, I don't want any gays in here, as they have, several have been caught saying, doing this about Trump supporters and other groups on the conservative side, Christians, that's happened. But any group, if a bakery, you know, we're like, you know what, we don't want to serve gay people here. No, I would never go to that bakery. Never.
Right.
Never. Right. Despite if they had like really delicious, like moist red velvet, even if they had that, I still wouldn't go.
What if they had Diet Coke?
I do like Diet Coke.
And it was the last place you could buy Diet Coke.
Well, then my rights are being violated.
Yes,
I have a constitutional right to aspartame. That is protected by the
29th Amendment.
Yeah, 29th Amendment.
Yeah,
but it's true. Like I would absolutely. We all. If someone said, if a bakery was like, you know what, we're not serving Jews, you know, you would be like,
be outraged.
Get out! I'm never going to that place. And they would likely go out of business if they had a stance like that. But the idea that you would go and only support someone of your own race is a terrible idea. Terrible idea.
But one of the Black Lives leaders. And she's also a professor at Cal State University. Malina Abdullah said, we say white capitalism because it's important that we understand that the economic system and the racial structures are connected. We have to not only disrupt the systems of policing that literally kill our people, but we have to disrupt the white supremacist, capitalist, patriarchal, heteronormative system that mm-hmm. is really the root cause of these police killings. I think it's important to realize that Black Lives Matter has gone so far beyond the black people who have been killed by police. Yeah. I mean, now it's to the very economic system of the United States of America. Wow.
Yeah.
And now it's about heteronormative standards and it's about patriarchy. What is that?
These things change, right? Like we've talked to people who are in Black Lives Matter who don't believe those things. You know, like,
but the leadership certainly does.
But the leadership does, yeah. Whatever that leadership is, and many of them, as is typical with movements on the left, it always comes back to the same three or four things.
Sure does. Socialism, communism.
Socialism, communism, aborting children. Like, there's three or four things it always comes back to. And all of this, like, you know, even like you might say, well, it always comes back to something like global warming. Now, global warming is the other way. Global warming is a cause to get to the end. It's a means. And it mm-hmm. is, well... That global warming thing gets back to, you know, the same thing of government control and taking money from people to do what the government seems to do right. It's progressivism. That doesn't mean everybody who mm-hmm. believes in global warming or is an environmentalist is like that. It's certainly not true. But it's a big part of it. And it needs to be called out because you can't act as if just because the initial motivation, right or wrong, was a positive thing. We want to protect black people from being shot unfairly. That is a absolutely positive initial ideal
that everybody's on board with.
Yes,
black,
everybody is.
White, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. But we're all on board with that.
Then it blows into some that maybe are justified shootings that we're going to protest. Then it turns into every cop is really bad. And then it turns into Colin Kaepernick, who's kneeling during the anthem with his pig socks and his J shirt. And like, wait a minute, where did we get to? They try to make you, if you oppose what Colin Kaepernick does as a protest, and you think it's a dumb protest, even though he would have the right to do it if he could stay on the actual field and keep a job, you know, they make it seem like you're against that initial cause. Well, we all don't want... it's nothing to do even with black people. I don't want anyone shot when they're not supposed to be shot.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
It should never happen. It will happen occasionally. And when it does... There needs to be justice behind that. But, you know, this is kind of where these things go. You know, the NFL players are like, well, what are you talking about? We have this, all we're saying, we're standing up for injustice. That's why we're kneeling to the anthem. That's nothing to do with protesting the anthem or the country, the military. Then do it at any other minute of the day.
Right.
Then kneel at any, during any one of the other 23 hours and 59 minutes that the anthem isn't playing. And you know who is going to have a problem with that? Pretty much nobody. Pretty much nobody.
Very true. And they keep saying it's not about the anthem and it's not about the country. Well, that runs contrary to what Colin Kaepernick, the founder of this movement, said.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the anthem and it is about the country.
Yeah.
To Colin Kaepernick, it was.
Yep. And but we're supposed to take all of their best intentions, all the best way you can take anything that Black Lives Matter does. For example, they want to only buy from black businesses and they want to essentially racially segregate themselves to only do business with their own race. And what we're supposed to take from that is, well, you know, they're good people and they just want to help other blacks. And, you know, look, they've had some they've been oppressed in the past. And, you know, we should support their efforts to only buy from people with the same skin color as them.
Yeah.
No, you should never make a decision based on skin color. That comes from racism. That comes from what we're talking about with Black Lives Matter. And it comes from giving free money at college to a black person over a white person because they're black. It should never, ever be part of your decision-making process. That is the absence of racism.
888-727-BECK. More Pat and Stu for Glenn coming up.
Well, look, emergencies happen. We know that. And we, of course, suffer with, you know, not only ourselves when it happens to us, but we suffer with the people that are affected by these tragedies. And we hope we won't find ourselves in a similar situation. When we plan for emergencies, we are in control of their effect on us, at least as much as you can be. You never know when these things are coming. You know, they hit first world and third world. They, you know, you don't know when an emergency comes, whether it's a North Korea thing or whether it's a natural disaster. It's not complicated to prepare because of people like My Patriot Supply. Self-reliance is easy with My Patriot Supply because they're the experts. They know how to do it. And you think, well, is it really self-reliance if I'm calling up My Patriot Supply and they're doing it all for me? Yes. Yes, it is. That's how I do it. My Patriot Supply has helped Americans like myself, like Pat, with preparedness for a very long time. They have a great starting kit right now, 102 servings of food for only $99, talking breakfasts, lunches, and dinners for $99. And think about the amount of percentage of emergencies that that's going to knock out. It's going to be 90, 95% of all possibilities. You're going to have food in case you need it. And My Patriot Supply makes it easy. They package it easily. You can put it in a closet. You never have to think about it again unless you absolutely need it. Call 1-800-200-7163, 800-200-7163, or order online at preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com. Dependable emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply, 800-200-7163, or preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Well, the collapse of Bitcoin has already begun. It was at 11.3 when we were talking about it 45 minutes ago. What is it now?
10,800. 769.
Wow.
Yeah.
10.8. And it was 11.3.
Some app sent out The Economist, I guess, sent out an app or an alert to everyone that said it was trying to say that Bitcoin has hit 10,000. Its rapid appreciation should worry all who hold it. But what they did is they left out the 10. So it just said Bitcoin has hit zero.
Oh, wow.
Which is... That's not encouraging.
No.
I don't think it's true. Does not seem to
that
be true.
That would create a little panic, yeah. Too, I would think. Brian in Oklahoma. Hi.
I think the word that Glenn likes to use is paradigm shift as far as the cryptocurrency market. There's two things. You guys always encourage people to buy gold and silver in case of hard times and, you mm-hmm. know, upheaval in the government. Well, 2 weeks ago, Zimbabwe overthrew Mugabe, mm-hmm. and their economy started to tank. Well, they started trading in Bitcoin. Well, the thing was that their Bitcoin went to like 15,000, but that wasn't U.S. Bitcoin, which means there's more than one Bitcoin market out there in the world.
There's lots of them, yeah.
Now, yeah, there's lots of them. I invested in four major ones, and I've done really well just in the last month. I've doubled my money.
Nice.
But one thing you said that everybody needs to understand, what backs Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies? What's it backed by?
Unicorns.
It's backed by the U.S. dollar. So if people say you got rich and you've got $100 billion worth of Bitcoin, you go to cash it in for what?
Right. Well, yeah, it depends. I mean, you know, there's two ways that goes, right? You cash out for, you know, normal currency and you can spend it as you normally do. If that were to collapse, obviously, is kind of what you're talking about. But I mean, at that point, you don't need to transfer it to anything. If you still have Bitcoin is a spendable currency.
Yeah.
You know, it's not everywhere yet, but it is growing quickly.
Yeah. You can get more than a pizza for it now.
Yeah.
888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck.
When you book your next business trip, make sure you use Upside.com. Here's why. They're going to give you the two best gifts you could possibly get this holiday season. First, you need this for business travel. Bose SoundLink wireless headphones. They are awesome. You have to have those if you're traveling a lot on airplanes. Because, you know, some kids whining behind you or loud engines or whatever it is. The dope sitting next to you that's talking too much. You need to be able to block them out. They also have a great business travel experience, which is really the important one. Book your business trip at upside.com/Beck, and the Bose SoundLink wireless headphones are yours free. This is what they do is they save you money. They give you options to save you even more money, and they hook you up with, Bose SoundLink wireless headphones. These are awesome, top-of-the-line headphones that you have to have. Upside.com/Beck to claim your Bose SoundLink wireless headphones now, just for trying Upside. Minimum purchase is required. See site for complete details.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Another day, another 335 people accused of sexual harassment. That might be on the low side. I'm just kind of guesstimating.
It was 335 when you said it, but now it's 542.
It's going about that fast.
It is.
Obviously, Matt Lauer fired today from the Today Show for sexual assault of some sort. Apparently, this stems from an incident in Rio when they were covering the Olympics and is just coming to light now. Also, John Conyers has more accusers, and Cokie Roberts, who is a reporter, she says it's pretty much common knowledge among reporters that he does this, that he's just a serial sexual harasser. Fascinating. And another female staffer of his said that, yeah, pretty much everybody's seen him in his underwear. A guy always strips down to his underwear, invites women in, and walks around the office. Strange stuff.
He's
88 years old.
I don't even want to think about him having like underwear.
No,
I think
John Conyers in underwear in the same sense.
No, just think of him fully clothed if you're going to think of him at all.
so wow. Creepy. I mean, that snowball continues to roll down the hill and gather steam, and who knows where that's going to end. But also a sort of mysterious incident that's been kind of on the back burner for about a month now is the Rand Paul attack. The guy, his next door neighbor, attacked him while he was getting off his riding lawnmower. He had earmuffs on to protect his hearing from the noise. And the neighbor came racing across his lawn and apparently slammed him into the tractor or the ground hard enough to break six of his ribs.
Jeez.
Now, here's Rand Paul's description of the attack from yesterday.
I was working in my yard with my earmuffs on, you know, to protect my hearing from the mower, and I'd gotten off the mower facing downhill, and the attacker came running full. But I never saw him, never had a conversation. In fact, the weird thing is I haven't talked to him in 10 years.
That's just amazing.
Yep. What? So he's got his headphones on.
10 years.
He's facing the other way, uh-huh. And there's a hill in front of him, and this guy runs and levels him at full speed without him even knowing it's coming, and he hasn't talked to the guy in 10 years?
So bizarre. He also talked about the motive behind the attack, sort of. Listen to this.
Do you have any idea what was in his head?
Well, I didn't before the attack because we'd had no conversation. After my ribs were broken, then he said things to me to try to indicate he was unhappy. But I think the bottom line is it isn't so important. If someone mugs you, is it really justified for any reason? And so I think the more people belabored, oh, well, was it about yard clipping? Was it because he hates Donald Trump? Does he hates you because you oppose Obamacare? You don't really know what's in someone's mind. And so it may have some relevance, but for the most part, the real question should be, are you allowed to attack someone from behind in their yard when they're out mowing their grass?
That isn't the question, because everybody knows the answer to it.
Right.
It's, no, of course not. That's not what we're saying. On the one hand, he says you can't know what's in somebody's mind. Well, yeah, you do, because he told you. And you said he told you.
So why don't you tell us?
So why not tell us?
Yeah.
Something really strange about that. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
Why?
I mean, you know, is it potentially that he is going to enter into legal action against this guy and doesn't want to talk about it publicly?
Yeah,
I mean, it certainly seems like he should.
Yeah, does.
Yeah, he does seem like it's a worthwhile lawsuit. The idea that this guy would just come attack you for no reason in the middle of the yard, though, because he won't just say it.
Right.
Just tell us what it is.
What did he say to you? Because he did explain it to him, obviously.
Yeah.
Because he said he tried to explain to me why he was unhappy. Well, why was he unhappy?
Mm-hmm.
And what could be the reason for not telling other than the lawsuit? But then maybe it's something embarrassing to Rand. I don't know.
I mean, fundamentally, of course, he's right. You can't just, no matter what your complaint is, you can't just come and attack somebody in their yard when they're not looking. That's true. We all know that's true.
Yes.
It's not the fundamental question, because it's too obvious. There's no intrigue to that question. We all get it. Yes, he should. Like, his explanation here, whether it's politics, whether it is, you know, lawn clippings, whether it's something else, isn't all that important, as he should probably receive the same penalty either way. That is, of course, not how our legal system is designed, because our legal system says if it's about politics and he's attacking a senator about politics, it may be a federal crime, which may be much larger in penalty. You know, a normal brawl with your neighbor might get you some prison time, depending how severe it is. But when you are attacking a senator over political purposes, that's a totally different scale. And that's why I think it really matters for this guy, because if that was his motivation, it might end up being a much bigger deal for him.
And maybe he doesn't want to make it a much bigger deal for him. Maybe it was politically motivated and he just doesn't want to say.
It's weird, though.
I don't know. We all have a tendency to start filling in the blanks when the blanks aren't filled in for us, because you just want to make sense of it. And we've had two situations lately that the blanks haven't been filled in for us. The shooting in Las Vegas and now this Rand Paul thing. And so people are filling in the blanks.
I'm glad you brought up the Vegas thing, because what the hell is going on with that?
I don't know.
500 people were shot or more.
Yeah.
And many died, obviously.
We still don't know the timeline. We don't know why he stopped shooting or when. You've got the hotel version, and then you have the security guard version, and then you have the police version.
And still nothing about this guy's motivation.
No.
Very little from the people around him.
Which contributes to a bunch of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, which is dumb. I mean, you're right that human beings tend to try to fill in the blanks that are blank, right? That's not necessarily a good instinct, though. Human beings tend to do a lot of crazy things.
So the kooks are filling in the blanks of the Vegas shooting, that these are crisis actors, and the shooting actually didn't happen. It's so absurd.
It's really obvious, and obviously
so
insulting.
Absurd.
Insulting.
So, because we don't have the answer with Rand Paul, was that a crisis actor on Senator Paul's lawnmower? And this didn't actually happen to him.
My belief is
it didn't happen.
It was not a real lawnmower.
Not a
real lawnmower.
And that's what Paul is trying to cover up.
Yeah.
I don't have a real riding mower.
Here's the thing.
He was just for show.
Trying to get out of the house, act like he was working. In reality, he just had a go-kart. It's not actually cutting the lawn. He just wanted to be out of the house.
Since he didn't get it finished, he had to tell his wife something.
And he can't say it's about lawn clippings, because there were no lawn clippings. He wasn't mowing the lawn. That's what I believe happened.
I think you need to call InfoWars.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that's probably accurate.
Yeah.
We just stumbled on the truth right there. He wasn't actually mowing his lawn.
Because, I mean, if you could get away with just going outside, turning on the mower, letting it run, and sitting on the other side. They hear the mower inside. They assume the grass is being cut. And in reality, you're just, you know, just chilling watching Netflix on your phone.
Yeah.
That's not a bad approach to housework. Yeah, no, it's a weird thing. I that is a strange story in that both of them.
Yeah.
How do we not have more information? I guess with Rand Paul, it's one person. It's a bad attack, and it's a sitting mm-hmm. U.S. senator. It's a big deal, but it's not hundreds of people being shot and murdered for seemingly no apparent reason.
I still think the problem with the security guard is that he's maybe a dreamer. You know, he's here illegally because he's been here, I think, most all of his life. But I'll bet he's an illegal alien and nobody wants to say it. And that's probably why he wasn't registered as a security guard. Mandalay Bay doesn't want to say anything about hiring illegals and skipping the process and breaking the law.
You're saying
that they had to be registered.
Because he was one of the... And he did do one interview, right?
He did one interview with Ellen. Which was a softball interview, and she never got to the bottom of anything we wanted to know about.
And then now he never wants to talk again.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, you would assume there's going to be an investigation where he's talking to authorities, and we'll eventually probably find that out. But it's amazing that how the media... This is not a minor thing. It's the worst mass shooting in history.
Yeah.
Worst mass shooting, in U.S. history, because go look at some communist regimes and see if there's been worse mass shootings than that. There have been a lot of them. Most of the worst mass shootings in history have all been done by governments. We should point out something that the left, when they talk about how the government should be controlling weapons, should maybe learn that lesson. But yeah, I mean, this is a really, really bad one. An incredibly horrific story with immense amounts of video. Two, it's you know, there's one thing to have a mass shooting, and we all hear those terrible stories. It's another thing. We all kind of feel like we experienced that one. I mean, you feel like you were standing there in the crowd watching Jason Aldean sing, and all of a sudden people are being slaughtered all around you. And there doesn't seem to be even an update. We're not even on a weekly basis.
Right.
We're getting nothing out of that story. It's very strange.
And it's almost 2 months now, because it happened October 1st, right?
Jeez.
So... It's November 29th now, and 2 days. It's December 1st, 2 months from the event, and they filled in no blanks for us.
Yeah, I mean, I would encourage you to, if you are feeling the same way about this, to get a baseline. The New York Times put together an amazing piece of video and timeline about when things happened and where things happened, with video, some video I had never seen before, of like cab drivers that were pulling up to the Mandalay Bay, not knowing what was going on, just hearing the noises.
Yeah.
I mean, and showing you where it was, what happened at exactly what they think is the right time. But you're, as you point out, there are some disagreements in the timeline, but at least gives you a general sense of what was happening, where it was happening. And some of that has been fleshed out, but still motivation, nothing.
Nothing.
And really giant zilch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could this person have lived his entire life with no indication that he was going to do this and just do it? I guess it's possible. But that's almost scarier in some ways. Like, you know, an Islamic extremist that does something like this, we all know there are millions of Islamic extremists around the world, many of which have answered to pollsters that they want to kill innocent Americans.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to be dedicated to kill innocent Americans. It's another thing to say, you know what? I'm going to tell the pollster who just called me, and you know what? Yes, I would like to kill them. That's quite another line. Across the world, and luckily the problem isn't as bad here, obviously, but you know, there are extremists all over the place that want to kill people. And while it's terrible and dying is dying, you at least understand there's something understandable about that. The one, I think it was Adam Lanza, was the guy in with the school in Sandy Hook. I think that was Adam Lanza. Sometimes I get these things confused, but one of the most terrible things about that, despite it being one of the worst crimes ever committed in American history, probably. I mean, these are little children, man. Nothing to do with any of this, with anything. He seemingly kind of didn't really have a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had some mental issues, and you know, he played. You know, he was obsessed with these shootings, kind of, and that's kind of all we know. And there really wasn't a. Not that there's ever a satisfying answer to something like that, but at least when there's an ideology behind it, you understand what occurred. And this one is even, I mean, makes that one look like we have tons of information on it.
It's even more obscure.
More obscure. There doesn't seem to be anything.
Yeah.
Just this guy had a bunch of weapons and is long, meticulously planned over a long period of time.
And a guy with access to $2 million?
Yeah.
A wealthy guy? So strange.
Yeah, so strange.
So strange. 888-727-BECK. More patents, too, for Glenn coming up.
We've talked a lot about kind of crazy investments over the past few months, but there's some that are a little bit more, I don't know, foundational to our society. Goldline has been, Glenn has been talking with Goldline and been talking to you about Goldline for a really long time. They talked to him about a special about for December. And, you know, you want to come up with something kind of cool. It's December. It's that time of year. And they came up with something really great. They're going to be opening up for this. This starts today. So you're getting in on the ground floor here. Because Goldline has a new partnership with AMARC, one of the largest publicly traded precious metal wholesalers, they are able to offer a much more efficient way to buy precious metals. Goldline is slashing the prices on its most popular products to prices they have never given before. Give them a call, 866-GOLDLINE, right away. Take advantage of this unprecedented special. It's not something they've offered before. You know, look, we've talked about having gold kind of as an insurance policy. You never know when the world is going to go crazy and things are going to change. It's important to do that. I have gold. The gold that I have, I purchased from Goldline. You know, we look into these things a lot. Goldline has been a trusted partner here for a really long time. Gold is something that has never gone to zero. You don't have to. Some of the other crazy stuff we talk about very well might go to zero. Gold isn't. You can reach Goldline at 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE. Be sure to read their important risk information to see if buying gold is right for you. It's a decision you and your family have to decide upon, to pray on, make sure it's right for you. It's right for my family. 866-GOLDLINE, 866-GOLDLINE, or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray, Stupid Gear for Glenn, the Glenn Beck Program. By the way, make sure you catch Pat Gray Unleashed immediately following this show on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. That's coming up. Also, we're going to talk to Jeffy in a few minutes.
And is that confirmed, or would we?
It is confirmed.
Must we, I guess, is the way I would.
I mean, maybe there's a way out. Maybe we tell him that the show's been moved to New York. And it's not here anymore.
Or Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
We can try that.
Maybe we just tell him, sorry, we've retired to go sell facial cream.
Is that where Glenn really is today? You say he lost his voice. That sounds very suspicious.
Doesn't it, though?
Especially with his face looking so soft and smooth lately. Something's going on there.
888-727-BECK. Senate Republicans considering an automatic tax increase. This is what I love. If the revenue falls short of projections when they give the tax cut, they're thinking about instituting an automatic tax increase that just kicks in. They wouldn't have to go back and debate it or tell the American people about it. They just put it in there, and if revenue falls below a certain level, we all get a tax increase. With Republicans like this, who needs Democrats? I don't know how.
Yeah,
they even look themselves in the mirror every night.
It's basically their way to try to say we care about the debt. We swear.
Yeah,
and look, it's not going to hurt our debt problems.
The budget.
Yeah, cut the budget would be great.
Cut spending. But stop spending so much.
That's the fallacy of being revenue neutral. I don't want it to be revenue neutral.
Oh, yeah.
Stop caring if it's revenue neutral. I don't want the government to have the same amount of money that they currently have. They get too much. That's the point of a tax cut. And to say that, yes, like their point is, well, what will happen is the economy will grow and we'll get the same amount of money anyway. That's great in theory. Like, I understand why it's great in theory if you believe the government is currently the correct size.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The only way that's it's their way of saying, like, well, we're going to cut taxes for people and you'll still get all the great stuff the government does. Well, I don't think the government does a lot of great stuff. They do a couple of good things. It's about it.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's this, you probably wouldn't know this, Pat, but there's this document that kind of outlined what the government should do. It was actually a series of documents written by these people. They're really old. They wore these weird wigs.
Were they all white?
They were all white. I mean,
I hate that.
And we're talking whiteies here. And
old?
What
were they old? Like way past their prime.
In fact, if they were alive today, they'd be super old, like hundreds of years old.
probably be in a nursing home by now.
And you know what happens with the document when it gets old? It gets dusty.
Yeah, it's old.
And you can't read it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
it really, starts to yellow.
It yellows, and it doesn't mean anything, right?
Right.
I mean, you can't trust the things that are in there.
I mean, you can't pay attention to a document that was written, 240 years ago?
Stupid. That's and like, ridiculous. What is a enumerated power? What does that even mean?
What?
I mean, it's way too long. Think of all those syllables and letters. There's way too many vowels in there.
It's way better if you don't have to pay attention to any of
that. What if you just do the things you want to do and takes as much as you want to do it? That's, I think, the right way a society should run.
It would seem to me these people you're describing, the white,
whiteies?
Old, mm-hmm. powdered wig people. Mm-hmm. They had no conception of what life today would be like.
No. Did they know?
Did they know about cars or a trip to the moon? No. They couldn't conceive of such a thing.
No.
So why should we live by their rules?
We shouldn't. We shouldn't. And that's why we're just going to ignore pretty much everything they put in the documents. It's funny because that's a problem. And you've made this point a million times. And I love it. Which is the Republicans who claim to be conservative. Say they believe certain things, but are unwilling to articulate them to the society.
Mm-hmm.
They come
unwilling
up with
or
justifications.
Incapable.
Yeah, they come up with justifications. Well, what we'll do? We don't want the government to shrink at all. We don't want them to have any less money. So what we'll do is we'll just guarantee you get the same amount of money. And if it doesn't happen, we'll raise taxes. We promise. Like, that is such a defensive position. You have control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency.
Yeah.
Do something bold.
Oh, they can't.
And that we're not getting.
They won't.
And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with this. Like, there's been a couple different breakdowns of what this tax plan will do to, you know, even people like the middle class. Nobody should have their taxes raised in any circumstance. Everyone should have more of their own money.
In a Republican-dominated Congress?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about an opening negotiating position or a first bill before it goes to reconciliation. I mean, you can't even imagine. But, you know, the breakdowns are questionable. Who's going to save? Will some people pay more? I don't know. We don't know yet.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat and Stu, joined by Jeffy now.
Hi.
Jeffy?
Good to see you.
I wish I could say the same. But
I just want to stop by and say hi. You guys.
Yeah, we were not really particularly interested in that.
We, in fact, we moved.
Yeah.
So you're not really here?
No.
No, we have
so you
know,
holograms and stuff. Might as well go back to your office.
Welcome to the program, Jeffy.
Thank you.
It's very good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
As always. You stunningly have not been accused of any crime recently, which is...
Maybe you shouldn't mention that.
It's really amazing. I watched the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade this past Thanksgiving, and there's Matt Lauer. With Savannah Guthrie and Al Roker. And I remember sitting there this year, days ago, thinking, wow, Matt Lauer has made it through the
fire.
So weird. Pat said the same
exact
thing.
Almost exactly the same thing.
He's made it through the fire.
Because my thought was, because I was just thinking about Charlie Rose having been summarily fired from all of his jobs. And I thought, well, here's another morning show. I wonder if he's got skeletons in the closet.
Been there forever. He's hang tough.
5 days later, he's gone.
Gone. I'm just happy that for the first time since my mother passed away, I'm happy that she passed away.
Because
she loved Matt.
Oh, did she?
Oh, really? Yeah.
So I'm happy she didn't have to see this day of reckoning horror. What did he do again?
I will say... I don't know what he did, but they seem like they have a lot on this guy. Because the way they're acting, first of all,
they
dropped
the same thing that happened with Spacey, too, right? It was amazing. It was like everybody cut ties, so it was like, what do they know?
Yeah, I don't know. And that's the thing with Spacey. We haven't heard a lot since he kind of went away. You had that burst of accusations, and then we haven't heard a lot, I think largely because a lot of other people have been accused in the interim. But, I mean, that might be their strategy here, because there was no investigation. There was no suspension. There was no, we need to talk to him about this. There was no, we heard something and we're really worried about it. It was just, hey, by the way,
bye. Remember that guy who used to be here for 20 years? Not
gone.
Anymore.
Gone.
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 pretty weird.
It certainly really is.
Will Al Roker be next?
I think he is.
You think?
I think Al might be next because, you know, I saw him making his little ha-ha jokes, his funny jokes on the Thanksgiving Day parade. Uh-huh. His only out, though, if accused...
Well, is that
you
this?
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
I mean, he did poop his pants.
Yeah, so I mean, that's his out.
That's his out. Yeah, well, I you know, what happened to me was...
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
I pooped my pants.
So he's good.
So
that's kind of his excuse for everything, I feel like.
I've got to feel it works.
I think it does. Al Roker sexually molested me. Well, yeah, but he
pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
He pooped in his pants at the White House, so...
He's had punishment enough for whatever he's done. You know,
it's what are you going to do? I mean, he had to that hasn't his, already been done to him.
He had to throw his underwear in the trash can at the White House.
He did.
Because, and the reason was...
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
And I feel like if you're a janitor at the White House,
this is
probably like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not myself a janitor. But it is, I got to think that that's like the number one job you want.
Adult underwear in the garbage would be somewhat of a turn off in that job.
If you're going to work a job as a janitor, like the top of your profession, right, probably the White House.
White House,
and you're thinking like, here I am. I'm with a bunch of very refined people.
Yeah.
Most
powerful people in the world. And then you start taking the garbage out and then you realize that Al Roker...
pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
That's unfortunate. It's not the day you want.
This wasn't in my job description.
No. It is... Are you at all uncomfortable, Jeffy? Because you follow these things closely. Number one, have you heard these types of rumors about Matt Lauer before?
No.
You hadn't? So you hadn't heard?
No, that's why I was saying...
I neither.
When watching the parade, I thought, wow... I mean, really, he's made it through the fire. There's a guy. There's one guy that's still holding strong.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And two, are you? Have we hit the point of saturation here? Where?
Oof, I don't think so.
You think there's still a lot more of this to
Absolutely.
Come?
Absolutely. There has to be.
It feels like it's going to take a big news event, like North Korea actually like hits, like the next test missile lands in Tokyo for this to be knocked off of the news cycle. Yeah. And obviously, you don't root for anything like that. But I mean, like,
that's going to have to be that.
And it's tough because is there? And let me ask this. This is a good question for Jeffy. I feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
You are a personality. Have never been accused of anything like this. And as much as we bust on you, some people have said you're a good guy or whatever. Not that I believe
or whatever.
It. Not that I believe it. But people have said that.
Uh-huh.
Let's say someone you had wronged in the past, multiple years ago, decided to come out and say, you know what? You didn't sexually harass them. You didn't sexually assault them. But you said, but they accuse you of that because you had done something they didn't like. They didn't like you for some reason. Whatever it was.
It's possible.
Completely false. We all know that this has occurred. I mean, we can use Duke Lacrosse. We can use Rolling Stone. Mm-hmm. We can use Project Veritas from yesterday, who believed the Washington Post was wronging them, and they sent someone to lie about a story to get them in trouble, right?
Like, I mean, good for the Washington Post, though, right? Yeah. I mean, they did their job.
Right. So craft me the response.
Oh,
if you are completely innocent, what do you say? You can say, if you say, you know what? I did not do that. She's lying. You're blaming the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you might say, well, but there's not a victim if I didn't do anything.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Now these people are all lying about you?
Right.
Is that?
And then you say yes.
And then you say yes.
You have to, right?
I mean, but nobody does. I'm not calling them a liar. I'm just saying that's not accurate.
Yeah, and then not only
let it stand. Yeah. Call them a liar if they're lying.
Because then not only are you
that's the problem.
The person who's
supposedly
victimized this woman is terrible because they've done this thing. But then anyone who sides with them and says, well, he says he didn't do it.
They're in trouble too.
They're also a terrible human being because they're accusing that woman of lying in some indirect way.
And Savannah Guthrie showed just how true that is this morning because she talked about Matt Lauer being a dear, dear friend, somebody she loves, somebody that's been her partner, and now she's conflicted because of the courageous employee, fellow coworker that came forward with this tough information.
Right.
Well, so she's got to give the victim the appearance that she believes the victim too, even though she's known her dear, dear friend for all these years.
She won't stick up for him
and
like
loves
that.
Him. She still can't defend him. That's how bad this is. because she knows she can't say anything good
and
about Matt
any
Lauer
female
now.
That comes out and says that, you know, some of these women, we've got to be careful because we've spent, I mean, Angela Lansbury, surprised she's still alive, came out the other day and was talking about, you know, for years, women have made themselves look beautiful. And so we have to take a little bit of...
that was a bad comment, though. I mean, that was a 92-year-old comment.
I know. But I'm just saying, it's an example of... piled on.
But she was saying that because women are beautiful, men have an excuse, kind of. Almost that kind of thing.
Okay. I didn't hear that.
You know, we've been working really hard to make ourselves desirable to men. Now they're... Well, yes, but just because you're desirable doesn't mean we can act inappropriately to you.
Yeah, because there have been women who, on record, have said they have dressed a certain way to entice a man to treat them better.
Yeah,
We have heard recently women who have said, I chose to have sex with this man.
For this job.
For this job.
Yes.
I got the job. Now it's sexual harassment. And it's like, is that a good arrangement? No.
No.
Is it an appropriate arrangement? No.
Is this sexual harassment? No.
No. I mean, you
negotiated a price, and the price was the movie role. And
now,
so...
And this is the thing, because I think you could say fairly, right? Like, you shouldn't have to have sex with someone to get a movie role.
No, you shouldn't.
And you shouldn't.
No.
But let's just take the other side of this for a second. You know, you're the backup quarterback in this situation. You're the woman that should have had that role, but the other woman slept with Harvey Weinstein... to get it. So now you didn't get a job because some other woman chose, on her own volition, by her own word, to have sex with Harvey Weinstein to get a job. Doesn't that other woman kind of have a case here to be pissed off? I mean, forget the fact that the woman is saying that she is a victim of Harvey Weinstein. And obviously he was, you know, by all accounts, a predatory individual.
Because they say that they felt they couldn't say no.
But you can.
There's no way.
Whether you felt that way or not, you can say no. And so you didn't get that acting role.
You'll
get another one.
Yeah.
But it's the Hollywood industry. And she'll be blackballed for a bit. Well, then do something else. Do a different line of work.
And again, I know, because you said this off the air as well. It's like, that doesn't mean it's appropriate. That doesn't mean it's right.
Close.
You know, it's an impossible situation to be put in, and you're having to make a decision based on priorities that you shouldn't have to make. You shouldn't have to decide, well, do I want this job, or do I want to have sex with Harvey Weinstein, or do I want to be harassed? That's not a decision that should happen, right? So that part of it is a real problem and shouldn't exist, and seemingly with Weinstein and several others, it really does exist. That seems to be completely a different case than Glenn Thrush from the New York Times, or even Louis C.K., it doesn't seem that way. I mean, Roy Moore, obviously, we've talked about there. There is a wide array of accusations against Roy Moore. But the one that really stands out is the 14-year-old. If the 14-year-old thing is true, then it's a really big deal, and he shouldn't be senator, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the accusation is true that it was from, I think, a 22-year-old woman that he went to the mall and he asked out several times and she said no and nothing happened, it's not a news story at all.
Right.
It's not even something that you probably might not even remember in your life.
Right.
From both sides of that equation.
Yeah.
Someone asked you
Roy Moore certainly can't be the first person who has put on the watch out for that guy at the mall guy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's guys like that all the time.
Yeah, you'd know.
Well...
I mean, you got to go in the side door.
It's not only just malls with you. It's all areas.
But it needs to be said, the mall manager said that wasn't even true. He was not banned from the mall.
Well, he was in that area, right? Like he was, I think, a little bit after these incidents, but he would still theoretically be banned, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, who knows if that's true or not.
But there's a guy that said that's denied it, right? I mean, he's the guy that's denied it down the line. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
If you deny it, you better be true. Be true to yourself.
But you can't fight it off.
Yeah.
You can't fight it off. No matter how many times you deny it.
Still going to vilify you.
They're still going to vilify you. You're still going to be guilty of it too. Whatever portion of the audience previously didn't like you is going to continue to not like you and say anyone who supports you is a terrible person for supporting you.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it impossible, and we've said this with claims of racism before, right? If you call everything racism, then the real claim of racism has no power. And I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think it's true with sexual harassment as well. There are women who are really, have been assaulted and have been harassed and taken. You know, I mean, there are accusations in this mess of the past couple of months. There are accusations of rape, right? These are really, really serious things.
Horrible.
To throw in these same conversations, people who have, I'll give you the Glenn Thrush thing one more time. I don't know if you heard this earlier, Jeffy. He's the writer for the New York Times.
The accusations are amazing.
Yeah. This is what they accuse him of. Not necessarily what he's admitted to. This is what he accuses of. One accusation, he kissed a woman on the ear at the time the woman shrugged it off. Accusation one.
Okay.
Accusation two, there was a consensual but aborted sexual encounter. The other ones...
That's not even a problem.
Not even, right, like, not a problem. Like, they started doing it, and they both decided...
And then she said, no,
this isn't right.
And he didn't stopped. Do anything then. Weird.
I mean, that's... You know. So,
how is that an issue?
Yeah, how is that an issue?
All right. 888-727-BECK, Pat and Stu for Glenn. More coming up.
All right. So, Car Shield. Believe it or not, 2018, right around the corner. That means come January 1st, your car will be another year older. And so will you. Well, depending on when your birthday is. And it'll cost more to fix. If you are out of the manufacturer's warranty, there's some good news, at least. Getting extended vehicle protection from CarShield, like I do have, and Jeffy has as well, could save you thousands of dollars. You're in the middle of a...
I am. As a matter of fact, I got a windshield problem. I got to find out if it's the insurance or CarShield.
Yep.
We're working it out. But, you know, it's a funny thing. Rocks break glass.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Fact.
That's interesting. The good thing about CarShield is, with the exception of like gas, like between your insurance and CarShield, you're going to have pretty much everything covered. It's affordable protection that can save you hundreds or thousands of dollars on a covered repair. And they even have plans that cover your car's computer systems, your GPS, electronics, and a lot more. If your car is 3 to 12 years old, it doesn't mean you have to pay high repair bills. You can have your favorite mechanic or dealership do the work for you, and CarShield will get them paid directly. Sign up today, and as a special welcome bonus, they're going to give you the 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is at the shop, which is a great benefit. CarShield administrators have paid out close to $2 billion in claims, and they're ready to help you get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle service protection. Before it's too late, give them a call, 800-CAR-6100, and mention the code Beck, or visit carshield.com and use the code Beck to save 10%. It's carshield.com, code Beck. A deductible may apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Hello. Beck Ray, Stuber Gear. Jeffy's here as well. In for Glenn today, who lost his voice. And so hopefully after a day of rest, he should be back tomorrow. We've been talking about several things today, but probably the biggest story of the day is the firing of Matt Lauer and how quickly that transpired. We're probably going to hear a lot of screwy things about Matt Lauer in the next couple of days.
Does seem that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, as fast as they got rid of him, you've got to believe that some bad things are going to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said an interesting thing. We played it earlier, and we don't have time for it again, but he was interviewing Bill O'Reilly shortly after O'Reilly's demise, and he told Bill O'Reilly, hey, you don't just fire your number one guy without evidence.
You figure he's laying the groundwork?
Wow.
That's ballsy if you knew this was possible about yourself.
Crap in your past? Wow.
Yeah. We'll see how big it is, right? I mean, over the next few days. But the fact that he got fired without any even investigation or suspension is big. I know you'll probably talk about this on Pat Gray Unleashed today.
Which is coming
up in a little while. I'm going to be talking a little bit about
Radio and Television Network.
As well on TV tonight, hosting for Glenn.
Okay. Well, what time does that happen?
5 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll see you tomorrow then. Well, and Glenn will see you tomorrow, hopefully, on his most of this show. You know, so.
Glenn Beck.